podcast that you're about to hear comes from a program titled The RSL, A Time to Celebrate. These sessions have been facilitated by Christian Teusner from the Emu Tree in partnership with the Wakery RSL sub-branch. To explore further podcasts, visit thewaywewere.podbean.com. My name is Christian Teusner. Thank you for listening.
The following oral history features Colin Henschke, born the 4th of the 1st, 1925.
Before I was called up, I was connected with the Air Force because my sister and I, she was Mrs. Rothy at the time and later became, Mrs. Rothy, no, not at that time, no, later she came to Tanunda. But we had an observation post, Queen Jig 5, about 10 miles south of Loxton. And we would report the planes that were going over, up to 70 planes a day, during the day and night. I got so used to the planes that I would wake up at night before they were overhead, and I'd be outside with my big overcoat and with my phone and ringing through to the St. Mark's next to the cathedral in Adelaide, where they had a great big table, and they'd shift the thingos along into keeping in touch with the planes. But anyway, it was a very important observation post because we had three training lines over our place. One from Malala to Mildura and Nil, Victoria, then the flying boats to Lake Bega, I think it was, and then we were directly under the route to Sydney. And so we had a lot of planes, and it got to the stage where I could tell what the planes were by the sound of the engines, particularly at night. And so we were pretty busy there, being woken up so many times, there would be two lots in the morning, up to two lots in the afternoon, then during the night they'd come in groups, one after the other.
Can you tell me what year this was?
This was in, but I was 16 at the age when I started. Up to 1943. And then after I was called up, my sister took over and she did it all by herself. My boss was, the cricketer, Vic Richardson, yes. He was my boss, and they'd come up and check on me every now and then.
Can you tell me, just firstly, your date of birth?
4/1/25.
And whereabouts are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in McCulter, near Angaston, and left there after a year. Went to Loxton, 10 miles south of Loxton. And that was the reason why our reports were so valued by the in Adelaide, because it was a very quiet place. We'd never miss planes. We'd hear the engines.
And what sort of altitude would these planes be flying at?
At about 5,000 feet. They were mainly Avro Ansons, Kitty Hawks, a few Kitty Hawks, but mainly Avro Ansons, and then flying boats.
When did you enlist?
In 43, and I tried my best to get into the RAAF, but some reason they wouldn't have me. They wanted because I'd been to the School of Mines in Adelaide, learning radio, they wanted me for radar in Townsville. That's where the Japanese wanted to land, just south of Townsville, the battle of the Coral Sea, but they were driven off by the mainly by the Americans, I think.
And do you remember that period? Do you remember it well?
Like, yes.
Any? Can you tell me? How did you feel living through this?
Oh well, it was just over by the time I. The main part was over by the time I got there, but we didn't know whether they would be returning or not. All the radar equipment was on the top of Castle Hill, and we had just vacated there. It had been the workshops had been transferred to that gold place near Townsville. I can't think of it now. Anyway, they sent me there, thinking that the workshops were still there, and I got there about 2 a.m. No army camp there anymore, so I had to walk back to Townsville, 80 miles. But anyway, the Air Force truck came along and picked me up, and in a hair-raising ride to Townsville down the hills, found out later that every Saturday morning, and every Saturday morning they'd try to better their time. And I was sitting on the back.
Holding on.
But I enjoyed that plane spotting and to see the different planes and so on. And they had this big table in St. Mark's College, was it? They took over the Air Force near the cathedral, and the IOWAS, they had their button for each plane, and they'd shift them up as we recorded them. This was at Pater, about 10 miles south of Loxton, and just my sister and myself. She was 5 years older than I am. And yes, and now and again a plane would come down and go searching. I could ring straight through to Adelaide with the phone every time a plane came over. But they'd come in batches of about 14, I suppose, one after the other.
Where were the planes originating from?
Malala. The Avro Anson's came from Malala. I'm not sure where the flying boats came from. And then there was those that went straight through to Sydney. They were mainly Kittyhawks and Cobras. And
how many years were you up the Riverland spotting?
Well, I went to college. I came out of college when I was about 14, I suppose. And I was called up at, when I was, 18, I think. Yes.
Where did you go to college?
Emmanuel College, North Adelaide. But then after the army, I came out and I went back there again, back to college again, and studied for the ministry in the church. And I've been in parishes ever since.
Okay. So whereabouts have you been residing then over your years? Different locations?
Well, I started at Victor Harbour, then to Tanunda, at which time I was chairman of the Board of Management here. And after that, back to Warradale in Adelaide, Lemuru, and then a suburb of Albury in New South Wales, and then came back again as chaplain.
All right, so that's that would be, if we would put some dates on that would be what, late 40s? Onwards, or early 50s?
51, from 51 onwards.
Did you ever know Bert Toisner?
Yes. He was in my congregation here in Tanunda.
Right. Okay, that was my grandfather.
Is that so?
Hmm.
Yes, I knew Bert Toisner when I was called in here, or at least came to Tanunda from Victor Harbour. He says, we couldn't hold a hilt, that was Pastor Hilt, so we called Colin.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That was in 54.
Okay.
Yes, Bert Teusner. He was a solicitor, of course, and he was also the Speaker in the House of Assembly, wasn't he?
That's right. And Viola? Do you remember Viola?
His wife? Oh, yes. She was a...
Kleeman.
Oh, Kleeman, that's right. Yes, Kleeman. Yes, she came from... I don't know whether I could... of course, I made up his church records, where he was born and all, but I don't remember what I wrote anymore. I always used to fill out a sheet for each member and all that I knew about them and all their statistics and so on.
Was there a high turnover of people working up there with the radars?
There would have been about 9 or 10 of us, I suppose. It was very hot up there working too. I had my dead meat tickets and singlet and shorts and boots on. That's all I had on.
It's pretty warm up there, isn't it?
And one day we had a cyclone, and my tent went up in the air, and so one soldier was killed with a flying tent pole. But anyway, I found I finished up the night in someone else's tent. One Sunday morning, I got a lot of these funny stories, you know, and they were so interested in them that they made a copy of them in the Townsville War Museum, and also I believe also in the Canberra War Museum.
Can you recall a few more of those for us today?
Oh, well, one Sunday morning we thought the coffee was pretty crook. It was in a kerosene tin at the entrance, and we dipped our cups in, but when the level got low, there were three cane toads in there. and I could have gone AWL, you know, because usually when a person is transferred from one camp to another, an officer went with him with all his papers. They gave me all my papers. I could have gone AWL. And then I usually volunteered for guard duty on Saturday afternoons when the boys would go out into the town. And one afternoon, this was, the races had come back to Townsville. The Japanese threat was lessened. They had leave in the town, and I'd be on guard in the radar workshop. And one Saturday afternoon, they came and they wanted to get into the wire cage where our big transmitter was, and they wanted me to get this transmitter out. I knew what they were up to. Anyway, I let them get in. And they wheeled it out. Then they listened to the Townsville races. And they came to the main race. And you know how the race callers, they get heated up for the race proceeds. And right near the end, they said, "Let her have it." And they switched it over from receive to transmit. And they blocked out. So all the Townsville people didn't know who won the race. Things like that. Anyway, I didn't get court-martialed for it. The officers thought it was a bit of a joke. And on a lot of nights, see, there is a goat farm next door to the camp. And they'd bring out the goats and set up the music, and then the boys would dance with the goats. And the way to make them dance was to make rude noises, and a goat would follow you wherever you went. And so one Saturday night, they coaxed a goat up the stairs, because the steps were, the workshop was on stilts, And at the other end of the workshop, there was the RAP's quarters, Regimental Aid Post, and he was out at the Flicks that night, and he had a bed, and we coaxed the goat and got it to lie on the bed, and he went to sleep. And when he came home in the dark, he found this goat in his bed. But to the goats, you know, you put out your tongue and make a rude noise, and then the goat will follow you. At least the Queensland goats did. They'd follow you everywhere you went, even upstairs. And they'd dance. They'd have the front legs with the hands and... oh, dear. The most interesting part was this Queen Jig 5. I used to like that. We had all these planes, pictures of them on the wall, so we could more easily identify them as they came over. Yes, there were three routes right over our place, and sometimes the pilots would muck around a bit and show off. They'd get reported. They had to tell them what was happening.
And what would they be doing?
Buzzing us and shutting off the engines and starting them again and all that sort of thing. And over the school, there's one crash where the plane came down and killed the pilot and so on. But another one where land in a paddock and so on. We'd have to race out and try to find them, then report them where they were. And I was only a lad then. And they relied on our reports because other reporting stations, they'd miss them because of the traffic noise. But we had a clear sky, no noise, and we could get every plane.
So its geographical location was just ideal.
It was, yes, except at night sometimes the telephone lines would hum. Yes, those were the days.
And is this really vivid in your mind, like the clarity of
yes
what you're describing?
I have a very good memory of those days. My father had a general store, post office, and wheat agency. And then when I left, my sister Evelyn, became Evelyn, Eric Roth. I don't know whether you knew Eric Roth, he's from Tanunda. She married him, and she continued for quite some time after I left with the Queen Jig 5. I have got in touch with NASA, and I've told them that if they were interested in experimenting with elderly persons in space, I'd put up my hand. And I haven't had a reply back yet. I'm going to try again tonight. Oh, yes, I'm very interested in NASA and this. I followed up on the computer. And I'm going to try again tonight because it's for some reason or other my application didn't go through, you know. On the computer it says send, but I didn't find a send for that one, so I've got two more addresses for NASA, and I'm going to try again tonight.
good on you.
There's a couple more things I could tell you. As soon as I left the rookie training in the army, they sent me to the Sydney Technical College for some months. And I was billeted at the bottom, at the underneath the grandstands of the Randwick Racecourse. And, we had our palliasses rolled up, and sometimes when we couldn't get things into the kit bag, we'd stick them in at both ends of the rolled-up palliasse. And I was in Sydney one Sunday, and came back late at night, and I was wondering When I got there, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of spitting and spluttering. We had this fellow, what was his name? He was a chemist's son from Melbourne. Spitting and spluttering. And I used to have 2 tins of Spirulina, which is the New South Wales equivalent of Cell Vital. Had one Cell Vital, and the other one had soap suds. And he had to pinch my Cell Vital, so this night he got to the wrong end. And he ran over to the latrines with his cup of Cell Vital and put the water in and down. It was the soap suds. And so he was splitting and spluttering. It was around about 10 o'clock at night, this was. Oh, dear. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I'm pleased to have met you, particularly since you're a relative of Bert Teusner. I knew him very well. Anyway, thank you very much for that.
If you or someone you know would like to be captured in a podcast, contact Christian Teusner via this email address, theemutree@gmail.com. theemutree@gmail.com. My name is Christian Teusner. Thank you for listening.